few years ago, Pope Francis summarized today's gospel by saying this. He said, "We can't discover life by being sad, bereft of hope." And it's interesting because the two disciples that Jesus goes to today are probably two of the saddest people in the whole scriptures, right? When Jesus shows up, they stop, they're looking downcast, and then as sad people tend to do, guy makes the snarky comment, "You're the only one who hasn't heard about these things, you know?" They're in a bad place. Another interesting thing about this, we had our spring clergy conference this last week, and the presenter talked about this gospel, so it was providential to steal for homily material. But he said that their leaving Jerusalem wasn't just like geographically moving away. He said it's actually more like leaving behind all that happened there. Leaving behind that experience. Moving on from this Jesus of Nazareth stuff, right? And that comes out when they're telling him, we were really hoping that he was going to redeem Israel, but it's implied, well, but we don't hope that anymore. We've given up hope. We've despaired. So that's the place Jesus finds them in. And it's interesting, this happens a lot when Jesus resurrects, right? People have a hard time seeing him, or like, they don't recognize it's him. And I don't know if this is the case here, but I wonder if they're so sad that they can't recognize him. Because I think we've probably experienced that too. Like, when we become so worried and sad and maybe hopeless, right? It's like, well, God's absent, right? Same thing here. They can't recognize the person next to them. But what's beautiful is that it's those type of people that Jesus draws near to in this gospel. This is Easter Sunday, right? It says on that very same day, Jesus could have been anywhere after his resurrection, and he decides to come to these two lousy, doubtless disciples, leaving everything behind. And he says, what's going on? What's going on? So if you've ever experienced that, it's to you that Jesus draws near. And then what does he do for them? He does two things. First of all, he spends roughly 2.5 hours, depending on how long you walk. It says it's 7 miles, so, you know, 2.5 hours, that's a long walk. He spends 2.5 hours describing to them all of the prophets and how they speak about him, right? And even then, he's sort of breaking through, but not quite all the way, because they still don't recognize him, but they're just interested enough to where they say, you know, "You should stay with us tonight. You know, it's getting late. Don't move on." And so just as he begins to break through, the second thing he does is he gives them, or they finally see him in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist. The Word and the Eucharist. Isn't it amazing, everyone? In these people's sadness and hopelessness, God gives them the Scriptures and the Eucharist. It's the exact same thing that he does for us at Mass. In a way, he's saying, all the resurrected Jesus is going to give you is what I give you every Sunday at Mass, all I can give you. Isn't that amazing? That the antidote, the remedy to our sadness is found right here every Sunday. And it's interesting too, because right when they recognize him, you'd think, oh, perfect, Jesus would be happy, they finally see me, then he vanishes, right? Right? It's this strange reality that part of the Paschal mystery, right, the passion, death, and resurrection, part of the Paschal mystery is actually the ascension. We sometimes forget that. That it's better to have the Eucharist Right? It must be. It must be. Better to have the Eucharist than to have Jesus in these 40 days after the resurrection. Or else he wouldn't have left. But because he's given us the Eucharist, because he's given us that type of presence, we don't have to fly to Jerusalem to go find Jesus. He's not some guru up on the mountain that we make this spiritual journey to go discover. No, when we're sad and hopeless and fearful, he's right here. He's right here in the Scriptures and in the Eucharist. And that's more than enough to overcome the sadness that we carry in our hearts. We can't discover life by being sad, bereft of hope, said Pope Francis. And so what do? We come to Mass and we ask Jesus to reveal himself to us in the Scriptures, right? We don't just, which it's easy to do, right, to just kind of sit there and listen. No, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. You've chosen to speak to me today. What are you saying? Right, that's why the pew guides with the readings are so helpful, because we can listen to him speak to us. And then we receive him in the Holy Eucharist. Right? Because then what happens to the disciples? That sadness turns into, were not our hearts burning within us? Were not our hearts burning within us? Allow Jesus to set your heart on fire with joy today through his word and through the Eucharist. Jesus, let our hearts burn with love for you.